everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. That was Logan Lowry, who didn't realize the camera had just gone live. So he's going to call up that schedule in case we need to refer to that. But we're here, and we're going to talk camp coverage with you, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. For the next little while, we hope you'll join us, and we're just going to hit some topics from both schools, talking college football. It's that time of year. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm up and at 'em this morning.
All right. Well, you know the camera's going now. We're live, right? We got you looped in on that.
Okay. I was waiting for the 3-2-1 action and all that stuff, but I didn't get one from you, Paris. I'm disappointed.
Well, we'll get better. We'll get better. And we hear a lot of that this time of year, working to get better. What's Mississippi State working to get better at right now? You know, and we were talking about this off air, Logan. Camp coverage in 2015 is less about the sense of vision and more about the sense of hearing. It's all about what the coach or player says. I mean, that's kind of how we gauge what's going on in camp. Very little viewing opportunities at either school. But what are you hearing about the Bulldogs?
Well, they've got a big scrimmage tonight. And, you know, Dan Mullen, they had a scrimmage a week ago inside the stadium. And Dan was really impressed with the veteran players. He said all those guys looked good. But he was concerned with some of those younger guys. It was their first time in the stadium and left a lot to be desired. I had heard that there was a lot of mistakes, and a lot of that resulted in big plays, big touchdowns and stuff. So he was looking for a lot more cleaner execution tonight. He wanted to see some of those younger guys, how much they had retained and how much knowledge and skills that they had picked up over here in the last week. They did a lot of work on that stuff this week, and he hopes to see a lot better results tonight in practice. They're actually scrimmaging really late in the evenings at night, you know, even practicing late in the afternoons, trying to get ready to for those first couple of games. They kick off against Southern Miss at 9 p.m. and then you get a 45-minute earlier kickoff next week against LSU at 8:15. So I'm going to be pushing deadline both of those nights.
You know, Logan, no kickoff is ever like at an even number. It won't be a 9 o'clock kickoff. It'll be like 9:11 or something like that. It will be something bizarre and strange. Talking about the Bulldogs right now, you mentioned these younger players. Is this about building depth for Mississippi State, or are they looking for a lot of starters right now? I know they lost a lot on defense, lost some guys on the offensive line. You know, how deep is this team going to be?
Well, the numbers-wise, they still have – they're right where they want to be. But a lot of those second wave and third wave of players that they like to run through there are all going to be inexperienced. There's a lot of talent on the two deep. But a lot of them haven't played in a game. A lot of redshirt freshmen are going to get their first opportunities on the field, a lot of junior college players as well. The good thing about what Mississippi State did last year, playing so many different guys, is that a lot of those starters that walked out the door are being replaced by guys who have plenty of game reps under their belt. And, you know, now they've got to find that second wave and third wave of players to come in and contribute and kind of fill that depth that way. But starters-wise, Mississippi State's going to be all right.
Well, depth is something that Ole Miss coach Hugh Freeze believes he has in great supply. There are some spots, though, where guys will be playing for the first time. You know, we hear these defensive players and coaches a little not reluctant to say, but cautious would be the word here when they say that this defense could be better than last year's, that led the nation in scoring defense at 16.0 points per game allowed. They are going to have some new guys playing, two new starting cornerbacks. Now, both of these guys were ranked the number one cornerback in junior college by different recruiting services in different seasons. T. Shepherd thought he would make an impact last year, suffered a toe injury about this time, some tendons in a big toe. That required surgery. So he's back. He's coming off that. So 2 years ago, he was coming out of junior college, and now a mid-year signee, Tony Bridges. So you got two guys that they think have a lot of ability and a lot of talent, but they're taking over important positions there. Cinquez Golson was a game changer last year for Ole Miss with 10 interceptions, lots of big plays and good cover skills there. They have confidence in these guys. They think Bridges and Shepherd are going to be really good players. They have enough confidence in them that they moved Mike Hilton, an 11-game starter at cornerback last year, to safety back at the Rover position. So, you know, a lot of confidence in these guys that haven't played yet, and a lot of depth at other positions. They'll have backups who have played. So, interesting to watch the development of some new guys on that defensive side for Ole Miss. You know, you talk about the Rebels and you think about the defensive line. I know, Logan, we've talked before about kind of the parallel paths of Chris Jones at State and Robert Kimdichie at Ole Miss. These guys are juniors now, and Kimdichie is leading a defensive line that many will believe will be one of the best in the nation. And, you know, I'm really waiting to see how these guys play. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of experience on their second level of players, a lot of backups who have played, you know, a good amount of football. But teams who were able to move the ball on Ole Miss last year often did it on the ground. The better rushing teams in the SEC were able to run right at the Rebels and gain some yards that way. And, you know, this is where this defense needs to be better. I think they have a chance to be improved there. And, you know, I could see kind of a transformation with this Ole Miss defense going from one that got a lot of turnovers last year with a lot of interceptions to being one that gets the ball back to its offense by stopping the other offense and forcing more punts.
Yeah, Mississippi State on their defense, they lost a lot on their defense. But like I said, they played two waves, you know, throughout the year last year and really developed a lot of depth that way. You know, you look at a lot of these preseason awards that we see popping up throughout the summer, and, you know, a lot of the guys on the defense that are getting recognized on all these watch lists are guys like Chris Jones, Richie Brown, Will Redmond. Those three guys didn't start a single game for Mississippi State last year. And they were being recognized as some of the best players in the country. So that's the type of depth that Mississippi State was able to develop. Now the question is, can they handle that starter's role, and can they develop the depth behind them? You know, can some of those younger redshirt freshmen and junior college players step up and kind of fill those gaps and develop that two deep that they had last year? You know, obviously I don't think they're going to do the 1A and the 1B defense that they had a year ago under Jeff Collins. Manny Diaz is going to find 22 players to run through there, but I don't think they're going to change, you know, wholesale defenses like they did a year ago. But one thing the players have said about Manny Diaz's defense is they love how aggressive it is. They, you know, the linebackers especially talk about how he loves to blitz. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a different style of defense. You know, I know a lot of people like the way that Mississippi State played defense in 2010 when Manny Diaz is here. And, you know, just judging from what I've heard from players, like I said, I haven't seen the team practice in 2 weeks, so I really don't know a whole lot about what's going on out there. But, you know, judging from what the players are telling me when they come in this room here, they're really excited about what they're bringing defensively.
I know there's not a quarterback competition going on at State right now, at least not in terms of the starter, but what's that backup competition look like?
Well, Damian Williams missed all but one of spring practice with a pectoral injury, and Dan Mullen told us that there's a possibility he could redshirt this year. You know, he's served as Dak Prescott's backup the last 2 years. Nick Fitzgerald is a redshirt freshman who's been on campus since December 2012, I believe, or 13. He's been on here. He's been on campus for a long time. Right when he got to campus when they were prepping for the Liberty Bowl a couple of years ago. So he's probably the most experienced redshirt freshman in the country. It's pretty amazing. And he's went through two spring practices, and this past spring he got all the reps because Elijah Staley was out with a knee injury. Nick Fitzgerald is really looking promising to fill that number two spot. He's he played in a wing T type offense in high school, an option offense. He's 6'5", about 230 pounds. So he's got the size and obviously has the running ability. They've had to work a lot on his passing ability since he's gotten to campus. And, you know, talking to Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach here at Mississippi State, he was very impressed with the strides that he had made throwing the football, and they feel pretty confident in what Nick Fitzgerald is going to bring to the table. He's a guy that didn't really get recruited a whole lot out of high school. I think his only other offer was Middle Tennessee. But Dan Mullen likes him. You know, he found him before his senior season. He played wide receiver his junior year in high school and moved to quarterback his senior year. And Dan Mullen loved everything about him. He kind of compares him to Alex Smith, who kind of came out of a similar situation when Dan Mullen recruited him to Utah. So they really like him. And like I said, there's really not a quarterback controversy for that starting spot. And Dak Prescott is really impressed so far in camp. Dan Mullen was really impressed with the way he handled the scrimmage last week.
Now, let's talk about Dak a little bit with the experience that he has. This is such a different year in the SEC with quarterback competitions at so many schools. It's a smaller number of schools that are settled right now at that position and have an experienced guy returning. Has Dan handled Dak differently this year? Is he giving him all the reps, or has it been a situation of, hey, I know what you can do, I'm going to pull you out a little bit, and I'm going to look more at these younger guys?
Well, I've seen Dak, still, the three practices I got to watch, which was about an hour each. So I've actually seen about 3 hours of camp. I saw him the first day out there in shirts and shorts, first day in shoulder pads, and the first day in full pads. And I haven't seen any team-on-team stuff, so no 11-on-11 anything. But, the drills that I saw, Dak was still, going through every single one of them. The thing is, talking to Dan about the quarterbacks this year, he's got 5 scholarship quarterbacks in camp this year. And he said throughout his whole career, he's never had that many quarterbacks. So they're having to kind of split up the reps and kind of share those, between the quarterbacks. And he said Dak was doing a really good job developing some of those younger quarterbacks, because outside of Damian Williams, none of them, 3 of the quarterbacks have never taken a college snap before. So, Dak's really done a good job developing those guys behind him, getting them ready for the future. But, as this team goes, Dak Prescott's going to be the guy leading them this year. And if he goes down, it could really, really be ugly for the Bulldogs.
Well, a lot of teams could say that if they lose a starting quarterback. Ole Miss is having a quarterback competition right now. And Hugh Freeze gave us a name and gave us a leader at the close of spring drills, and that was Ryan Buchanan, the third-year sophomore. He's still in the competition with Chad Kelly, the junior college transfer, and Devontae Kincaid, the more mobile of the three, another third-year sophomore. But we don't know really who the leader is right now. We know there is a leader because earlier this week, Freeze told us that that there was a leader, but he was not ready to name a starter, and he didn't give us a name as to who the leader was. He did tell us that the guy who is at the top right now is there due in large part to how he handles blitz recognition, the pre-snap reads, how he sees what's in front of him and then sets the blocking and sets the offense. Okay, that sounds like a guy who's been in your system a little bit longer. So that sounds like it could still be Ryan Buchanan. But Freeze went on to emphasize how close the race really is. And, Logan, just kind of reading between the lines there, if it is Buchanan still the leader, if it is the knowledge of the system and having been in it now for 2 complete seasons, if that's giving Buchanan a little bit of an edge, it almost sounds like Freeze is struggling to make the decision between the safe option, the guy who really understands the offense, and maybe a guy that might have a little more ability. Like you, we haven't seen much 11-on-11. We've seen a very little bit in spring and in camp. So I haven't seen much of Chad Kelly. I've seen a little bit. When I do see him, I recognize the ability and I see the confidence and swagger. He just carries himself a little differently. All right. But we've been told that he throws a really nice deep ball, and I've seen a few of those on occasion. He puts a lot of air under it. Receivers can go get it. It looks like Freeze might be deciding between the safe option and an option that he's really attracted to in a guy who can stretch the field, particularly when you've got a healthy Laquon Treadwell now and Washington transfer Demarie Stringfellow. Now, I wouldn't have said this about Stringfellow. We weren't hearing this about him at the end of spring. We were hearing that he and all the wide receivers not named Treadwell really needed to become more consistent. They were not doing the little things day in and day out and needed to really elevate their play on a daily basis. What we're hearing now is that Stringfellow is having a really good camp. And if he is locked in and focused, as Free seems to describe him to us now, well, that gives the Rebels 2 really big physical bodies on either side of the field. Treadwell is healthy. He appears to be handling the physical part of the game. He told us that he thought that he would, but you never know about players coming back from injury like that. Looks like Treadwell is okay. Still have to see him at game speed. But when he's healthy, you have him on one side at 6'2", 6'3", and about 212 because he's lost some weight. And then on the other side, Stringfellow at 6'3", and 220. That's two really big physical types there. It would be nice to have a quarterback who could stretch the field, and that might be the struggle that Freeze is having right now in trying to name a starter. He told us the earliest he would name a quarterback starter would probably be game week, and I don't think it'll be settled by then. I could see this going on into the season. I think he'll want to get a look at both of them in game reps. Now, they start out with an opponent in Tennessee, Martin, that you have that luxury with. You could play all three quarterbacks then. I don't think you get much rhythm from them if you do that. But I could see both quarterbacks playing then. Maybe you've got a starter for the second week against Fresno State, but certainly there will be a clear number one in place by the time the third week arrives because the Rebels will open SEC play at Alabama.
Yeah, Mississippi State really likes the receiver depth that they have this year. You know, obviously you got a proven commodity in Darunye Wilson, a big guy, 6'5", you know, around the 230 mark, and you know, can really stretch the field in there, and you can just sleep by the gym with his basketball background. And they really like, a guy like Fred Ross, Fred Brown, you know, guys that kind of, had roles last year, but their roles will definitely be increased this year. And they've got a junior college guy by the name of Donald Gray, who they signed out of high school. He didn't qualify. They sent him down to Colin. He redshirted his first year at Colin and played last year and was an All-American. So he actually has 3 years of eligibility remaining. And they really like what Donald Gray brings to their offense. You know, I saw him a good bit in the spring. He was still trying to learn the offense. He's gotten more familiar with the playbook, obviously, this fall. And I think he's really going to be a contributor for Mississippi State, kind of maybe a wild card that, you know, that maybe a lot of people didn't know about. And they, you know, a guy like Gabe Miles, who's filling in for Jamion Lewis last year when he was injured, made a lot of plays, couldn't quite get into the end zone. He came close so many times, and we talked to him here the other night, and he talked about, you know, trying to get that one little play to, or one little move to get in the end zone. And you know, he's got a starkle product and MSU legacy on top of that. So you know, he's a fan favorite. You know, the crowd loves him here. And then you look at running back, replacing a 1,000-yard back like Josh Robinson. May have, you know, on the surface, on paper, look like, you know, Mississippi State's going to have a lot to do at the running back position. But, you know, the depth that they have back there is pretty outstanding. You've got, you know, Ashton Shumpert, who's a local product for us, Parrish. He's a Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Mississippi. And then they've got another Mr. Football in the state of Mississippi, Aris Williams, who's a redshirt freshman. And probably the power back out of that group is a Dontavian Lee out of Forest AHS down there. He's just a phenomenal back. We saw a lot of good things from him, especially in the spring game. A big power guy, lowers his head. And then they've got a change of pace, a little scat back in Brandon Holloway. So they've got four backs that they feel pretty comfortable with interchanging. And I think you'll see all four of those to start the season to kind of figure out until that one guy kind of emerges to be that go-to back for Mississippi State. But I think Ashton Shumpert is going to be that guy. He's the leading number one candidate right now. And he showed towards the end of the season last year what his capabilities are. He got a lot of carries in that Egg Bowl, ran the ball hard. And I think he's going to emerge as that guy.
The run game is really interesting for Ole Miss right now. They were not strong on the ground last year. You look at them statistically and you see 155.5 yards a game. That wasn't the worst in the league. That wasn't the worst in FBS. But 402 of those yards came against Presbyterian. You take that game out of the equation, and the Rebels averaged only 134.9 on the ground. That's getting close to worst in the nation. That's number 100 out of 125 FBS teams last year. This has been a real point of emphasis for Freeze and his offense in camp, to improve the run game. And a lot of attention goes to the offensive line. And, you know, for a group with five starters back, there's a good amount of competition going on there. A lot of competition at center. Could have a new starter there. Looks like Robert Conyers kind of leading the way right now. could have a new starter at right guard. Justin Bell has made 26 consecutive starts on the offensive line. He's kind of been in that center competition, and if he goes back to right guard and is the starter, it might be by default because the Rebels have had an injury there with a promising young player in Rod Taylor. He's going to be out a while with the torn labrum, and he'll play with that torn labrum through the season and have surgery after the season. But at this point, you don't know how long he'll be out or what that will do to the competition at right guard and center. But you know, the point is, with a group with so many starters returning all across the board, you know, in a group that has a player of Laremy Tunsil's ability at left tackle, a guy who could certainly be a top five overall pick next spring's draft, even with Tunsil, this was a pretty average group last year. So an area with five starters returning is seeing a pretty good amount of competition as the Rebels try to improve the run game. They've also got some bigger backs to do that with. Freeze inherited Jeff Scott, a smaller guy, when he got to campus in 2012. And he's had smaller backs. Itavius Mathers was under 200 pounds. Mark Dawson right there, a little heavier than that. Both of those guys have transferred out of the program now. Jalen Walton is the leader. He's clearly the starter. He's the most experienced back. He's a senior now. He's 5'8", 172, but what the Rebels have behind him are bigger backs than they have had in the rotation under Freeze, with Jordan Wilkins, who has bulked up to 217, and Akeem Judd, a junior college transfer last year, who redshirted because of the numbers at the position. He's 222 pounds, so looks like between an improving offensive line with a little bit more ability, some talent there, certainly more numbers, more guys that the staff feels comfortable putting into games. With an improving offensive line and some bigger backs who give you a better chance for some yards after contact, I think Ole Miss has a chance to be better in the run game.
Yeah, and looking at Mississippi State's offensive line, they lost three starters a year ago and three key starters that all went on to the NFL. Blaine Colazelle at left tackle, Dylan Day at center, and Ben Beckwith at right guard. They moved Rufus Warren to left tackle. He switched to right tackle last year and was a tight end before that, so a really athletic guy out there at left tackle. And I think he's actually going to be more athletic than Blaine Clausell was. He's just kind of new to the position and kind of learning that spot. But he's a huge guy, about 6'7", you know, 300 plus pounds, huge guy, but incredibly athletic. You know, even though he bulked up from his tight end spot, he still maintained a lot of that speed. And you know, when they run those little screen passes out there, he just mauls, you know, cornerbacks and safeties that come out there and try to make those tackles. It's pretty impressive. And then at center, you've got a guy like Jamal Claiborne, who hasn't snapped since he was in Pee Wee leagues. You know, none of Mississippi State centers that they have ever snapped in a college game. And that's a concern. You know, even though that Jamal Claiborne has looked good throughout the spring, throughout bowl practice, and throughout the fall so far, he still hasn't done it when the lights come on. So, you know, obviously there's a different story and something to watch going into that opener with Southern Miss. And then you've got a Devin Desper, who actually has one career start at right guard last year against Texas A&M. So he's been through a little bit of a war out there on the field and played some time as a second team guy behind Beckwith last year. So, you know, they're replacing some stars. I think that they're going to be a little bit more athletic along the offensive line, even though they are replacing three starters. Jamal Claiborne is a mauler at center. You know, once he gets that ball off, he just mauls people. And I know a lot of people thought Dylan Day was kind of that guy that would battle people to the ground and kind of, you know, get in there. It was kind of a real aggressive player. Jamal Claiborne fits that mold, and maybe even more so.
Logan, tell me a little bit about Southern Miss and what you know about them right now as a first-game opponent. Just opening kicks are right around the corner for both these teams. Ole Miss taking on Tennessee Martin. I'm excited to have an 11 a.m. game. This is an opportunity for the Rebels to get some looks at a lot of people. You'd kind of like to have this FCS game later in the season. You know, with having only one open date on the schedule, you know, the FCS game, you know, Ole Miss at least had the good fortune to have it after the Auburn game last year. It does give you a chance to exhale a little bit and to rest some people, to play some reserves. That's how it works most of the time. There are the examples of Jacksonville State, a good FCS team, coming into Oxford and winning. There's the Appalachian State and Michigan. You get these games from time to time. Most often, the FCS game is an opportunity to play a lot of people and to rest some starters. But looking at Southern Miss and State matching up on opening night there, this is obviously there's the State rivalry aspect that comes into play, but it looks like this is a better Southern Miss team and an improving program. What do you see in that first game?
It could be. You know, there's a lot of factors that play in Southern Miss's favor as far as more so than a year ago. You know, last year here in Starkville, it was a blowout. Mississippi State with a shutout, got a lot of people out there on the field, played a lot of guys, and it really wasn't even close throughout the whole ball game. This year it may be a little bit closer. You know, Southern Miss has improved a lot. The game is in Hattiesburg. Mississippi State hasn't played there since 1989. I don't think, you know, Southern Miss is going to pull the upset in this game at all, but you know, it may be, it's really an opportunity. Mississippi State does need to get a lot of those guys onto the field, a lot of those redshirt freshmen, and get some experience under their belt, because the next week they got an LSU here at home, and it's going to be a game that they're definitely going to be tested a lot in. They need all their personnel, you know, not to be jittery, you know, get those first game jitters out of the way, get some playing experience. And, you know, Mississippi State needs to establish itself early in that ball game against Southern Miss and put the game away so they can get some of those younger guys onto the field. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as easy as it was a year ago.
You know, you mentioned that 1989 game, Mississippi State and Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. I was there covering as a USM beat reporter for the Meridian Star. That was Brett Favre's junior year. And interesting times. Logan, if I was so inclined, and I'm not, I could actually get my work done from Ole Miss and Tennessee Martin and make the ride down to Hattiesburg and help out. But I really think I'm going to let you have that one. I don't think I'm going to do that old-fashioned doubleheader there.
I've done that once before in my career. I covered Ole Miss in Florida when Tim Tebow was playing there in Oxford. And then I came back down to Starkville and covered Mississippi State and Gardner Webb. So I've done the double dip before, but after the way I felt after that day, I don't know that I'm going to do that anymore again in my career. So I don't blame you. I know 9 o'clock's a little past your bedtime right there, you know, that 9 o'clock kick. So it's going to be a late one.
Well, I'll tell you what, Logan, I'll finish my work and I'll get back to Tupelo. And I think I will be like a lot of people who will watch the beginning of that game and not the end of it. Folks, we thank you for joining us on this chat today, and we'll have more of these as we move along through our camp and the season. Come back and join us.